following is a remastered version of A Worthy Opponent, a production of Holosuite Media. Tune in to our live show every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Everybody, and welcome to turn 119 of the podcast, A Worthy Opponent for the Blizzard game Hearthstone. I am Black Lace, and with me in the studio is Autumn's Bane.
Velen wrote a lovely card for Tyranda with a picture of the Deep Run tram that said, I choose you.
Oh my god, Velen's chosen, is that really what it is?
Well, very good at getting it right off the top of your head. So, yes, that's what it says. I wanted to read it before it's gone.
A lovely card. It kind of sounds like they had the holiday thing.
Love is in Valen the air. Signed,
yes, love is in the air. So, Valen wrote a lovely card for Tyrand.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty horrible. I choose you. They are so Pokemon-centered in this game.
No, they steal from everyone. That's what makes them great.
But now that I've been actually playing Pokemon on my 3DS, I really see so many of the similarities with the... I always knew that the pet battles were similarly based, but some of the pets are just incredibly the same. Anyway,
You have to understand is Corey Stockton, who is the lead designer of the pet battles, is an avid Game Boy type of game player.
I love it.
So Pokemon and all of that stuff. Animal Crossing. He's into all that type of game. So
speaking of Pokemon,
whenever you see a game in Warcraft that seems to emulate another game, it's probably Corey Stockton to blame or thank, depending on your point of view.
So Corey Stockton is probably very excited because Nintendo announced that they're going to have the Sun and Moon Pokemon come out soon.
What, are we a Pokemon podcast now, too?
Yep. Well, Valen's Chosen is a 3 casting cost, give a minion +2/+4, and spell damage +1. It's a pretty decent card.
And going bye-bye soon.
And a priest card, anyway. I might be playing a priest deck soon. I have to figure something out.
I'm looking through the Goblins versus Gnome Priest cards. It is amazing how many I don't have.
Really?
I don't have Light Bomb. I don't have Upgraded Repair Bot. I don't have Shadow Bomber. I don't have Light of the Naru.
Priest cards. I have Light Bomb. Wait a minute. I have to hit crafting in order to see. I don't have Vol'jin. I don't have Shadow Bomber. That's it.
Vol'jin I have.
Yeah. I don't have him.
Wait. He's a priest?
Vol'jin, yeah, he's a priest.
Oh yeah,
card.
There he is. Yeah, I have him. You know what? I may just dust him. I used
dust
him one time.
Vol'jin.
Yeah.
All you are is dust.
Okay,
Vol'jin.
Enough of that.
Sorry.
No, I'll probably keep him only because we're not going to be able to buy this set again.
Yeah.
So, who knows? Maybe the new set will have fantastic priest cards and make me want to play it. And then I'll kick myself for dusting Vol'jin. The way I dusted Velen.
Yeah, probably. Probably.
The way I dusted my golden Velen.
Yeah. Well, talking about dusting cards, there's, as everybody knows, and maybe not everybody, but most everybody knows, we have the Wild and Standard coming out very shortly. Not this week and not next week, but soon enough. Just to let people know,
they said spring.
A little bit,
there's still snow on the ground.
They said spring. Right, but it's almost March.
When Blizzard says spring, they mean the day before summer.
No, usually. No. I think it'll happen at the end of March or April. I'm hoping, because really there's not a lot going on our side. I know that Blizzard's probably got their hair being pulled out on their side, but on our side, player side, there's not a lot going on. But
I will really be surprised if it's before April.
Okay.
I hope I'm wrong.
Me too.
We really need
to talk about.
We need something now.
We need content.
Not just to talk about, but stuff to play. Because, well, we'll talk about that more later.
Right. Well, just as, you know, just for some people who, with the standard and the,
Wild.
Thank you, Wild. There was a question raised recently about cards like, Geblin Megatork, Old Murkai, and like, let's see, Elite Torrent Chieftains. Those are cards that are
promo cards
or reward cards. Yep.
Right.
They will be restricted to wild format. They're not going to be in standard format. They're going to be wild format.
You can still craft them if you want.
You can still craft them. You can't craft the golden versions that, you know, were special events. I'm sorry. No. Let me rephrase it. The golden versions, which were acquired, will still not be able to be disenchanted or crafted.
Right.
Okay. But they also will not be in standard format. They will be restricted to wild. So, yes, you can still play them, just not in standard. A lot of cards going bye-bye soon. So that was what I want. You found some interesting things about the top five things we want to do before this next expansion comes out.
Yeah, I don't know how interesting it is, but I was browsing for news, of which there is not news, and I came across a page in Hearthpwn, actually two. The first one led to the second, and we're not going to really discuss it. If people want to read it, they could go to it. But Zaria Christina Sims, who's one of the forum moderators, community service managers, she actually has an interview from 11 days ago on the Hearthpwn page, and she talks about general stuff about the new expansion and what people are complaining about and what people like, and, you know, the types of questions they're having to answer.
Did she give us any hints?
Format chances. So anybody who's interested in reading an interview can go there and read it, because I don't want to be cheesy and just read the interview straight from the page.
Did she give any hints?
I didn't read the whole thing yet. I just found it literally a few minutes ago.
Okay. And that's on Hearthpwn.
Right.
All right.
Hearthpwn. But yes. Hearthpwn had this other thing, and we're just going to speak briefly about it, because I think they nailed it. They're talking about the five things you need to do to prepare for standard. And the first thing and some of these are the same things we said last week, but some of the things are buy the first wing of Naxxramas.
Right.
Because as long as you buy the first wing before standard hits, before that next expansion, you can go back and buy the subsequent ones later. You will have unlocked the ability to unlock the others. Whereas if you never bought it, I mean, a lot of our listeners have already bought all of them,
mm-hmm,
because it was a while ago. But those people who are new, like our kid, for example, bought one and now are free to buy the rest at any time. So that's a good move to do, because if you blow this chance, you'll never get the chance again. And even if you're on the fence, just one wing, what was it, 700 gold or $7? It's not a huge amount. So that's the first thing they suggest, and I agree with that suggestion.
I do too.
They also say that the developers say you'll be able to purchase the remaining locked wings. No, otherwise you're stuck hoping it's returned to the shop one day. So Blizzard did say it's a possibility, but they're not going to confirm one way or the other that they'll open it up again. You know, Heroes of the Storm had those limited time things like Christmas Jaina, uh-huh, and they brought it back the following year.
Right.
So, you know, just because something goes away doesn't mean it's gone for good. I mean, if they could 10 years later revive an entire instance, then they can certainly bring back a wing. And it's not like this is stuff sitting on a shelf and they have to clear the shelves to put more stuff on the shelf.
It's just opening up again
data.
For purchase.
It's right. Data. And if anybody could afford to store data, it's Blizzard. So yeah, it could come back, but it might not come back for 5 years. It could be like the Disney cartoons that go into the vault and you see them come back once a generation. So you don't
want to come back when they make it 3D.
Yeah, you don't want to be stuck with a situation like that. So buy Nax now if you haven't done it already.
Right.
The second thing is buy classic packs.
We're going to do that anyway.
Well, as part of the new format launch, the development team is making a balance pass at the basic and classic sets, bringing some of the more problematic cards into check. If these cards are changed, ready? This is the key. You'll be able to disenchant them for their full value, effectively allowing you to trade them for any other card in the game of equal value. So by buying more classic packs to make sure that you have plenty or even extra, and some of those happen to be the ones that are being nerfed, every time they've dusted something in the past, they've given you the full purchase value of that. Meaning, it costs more to craft the card than it does to disenchant it. But when they nerfed the card, they said, okay, maybe you've gone and crafted this card, and now we've nerfed it, and we don't want you to feel like you were screwed. So when you disenchant it, we will give you the full value of what it cost you to craft it to begin with. So therefore,
wow.
They'll end up doing the same thing again. Something that might
cost you 400 to craft now and 100 to disenchant, you can get the 400 back later instead of the 100.
Right. So, for example, there are rumors right now going about that Leper Gnome and Knife Juggler are going to be nerfed, right? So, Knife Juggler costs 100, or gives you 100 dust when you disenchant it. But it costs 800. So now you happen to pick up a couple extra Knife Jugglers because you bought extra cards. You disenchant them. You won't get 100. You'll get 800.
Yep. So hang on to your duplicates right now. Don't disenchant anything till after the expansion.
Yeah, that's the take-home message here. Even if you don't go buy classic packs, don't disenchant anything from any set at this point. Wait and see. A lot of people will only disenchant cards when they're ready to craft something else. Like, okay, I need 600 dust. Let's see if I can find 600 dust worth of stuff. And the reason they do that is for the very reason we're talking about, that the value may go up.
I might have to be doing that soon.
Further rumors of possible nerfs are, in addition to Knife Juggler and Leper Gnome, which we talked about last week, also Ancient of Lore, Force of Nature, and Savage Roar are being discussed. Now, the article doesn't say if they're being discussed by Blizzard or just the people on the forums or the, you know, other community people like, you know, podcasters and streamers, but or tournament winners. But these names have been bandied about, and I'd love to see them do something with Savage Roar. I'm so tired of dying to Savage Roar.
Yeah, but I don't know. That's like your mass spells.
Like what? Unleash the Hounds? That right. Never got nerfed more than once?
Was it three times?
It or got nerfed. I think it was a total of three times. I'd have to go look it up again.
Yeah. So what's number three on the list of top five?
Okay. So their category is Playing Wild by Goblins versus Gnomes packs. And essentially, it's because they're going away. So
right. Complete your collection now.
Yeah, if you want to play Goblins versus Gnomes in Wild and you don't have a bunch of cards, you can certainly get them, especially the legendaries. There's some good legendaries in Goblins versus Gnomes, so buy them now. I mean, they're saying to buy classic packs, but, you know, of those two suggestions, one says buy classic, one says buy Goblins versus Gnomes, I'd buy the Goblins versus Gnomes before I'd buy the classic.
Yeah, because classic's always going to be there.
But, you know, I'll tell you what I'm doing with my money when we get to number 5. Okay. First, before 5 is number 4. That's the way numbers work, right?
First before 5 is 4.
Right.
Correct. First before 5 is 4.
Right. 4 shall be the number thou must proceed to 5. Okay. So, basically, they say, get to know what's going away. All the Naxxramas cards and all the Goblins versus Gnomes cards are going away for standard play only. Of course, you can play them wild. So, make sure you're aware of it so that when you're designing your new decks, you know what to do. If you've got decks that you really, really like and want to keep playing with, but you want to play them in standard, start thinking about what has to come out and what you might want to put in there.
Well, here's something, though.
They're not talking about this in the article. This is my extrapolation of the article.
But here's something. They're going to be taking those two away from us. But don't forget, we're getting an expansion. So there will be new cards that you're going to be playing with anyway. So yes, you're going to be losing those old cards, but there are new unseen things around the corner.
Right. But I think unless you're planning to play a lot of wild and you like to make new decks all the time, start practicing making decks that don't have those cards you got to get rid of. And yes, a new expansion to add in is even better, but just basically get used to those cards not being around. No?
Right.
See if the decks that win a lot for you now can win without those cards.
Without the Flame Waker. Yes.
Without the Flame Waker.
I love my Flame Waker. I'm going to miss my Flame Waker.
Yeah, Flame Waker is one of those cards that you only love if it's in your own hand.
This is true. Unless you love clobbering it. Number 5.
Number 5. Start saving for the next expansion.
Woohoo!
Now, they're talking about money, but...
gold.
I'm talking about gold.
How much have you gotten? I mean, you've probably, let me guess, you've probably broken the 4,000 barrier.
I have. I could buy 40 packs today.
Nice. I've got 3305. Yep, 3305. But I have two quests out there that are pretty big ones. They're the win 5 as a... so.
Yeah. But I say I could buy 40 packs. It might be more. Remember last expansion? They gave us a sale.
That you would... shall see.
That you got... what was it like? If you bought a 25 packs, you would get it at a cheaper price?
I think it was the... yeah.
Or 50.
The one that's packs. Normally $49.99, they gave you an additional 10, I think.
I don't remember the price, but they gave us a big sale. So
yeah.
If there's a big sale again...
Yep.
But I think that was just for cash. So regardless, if you're a player who periodically buys cards and you, maybe you're a kid and you just have an allowance or you work a part-time job and so saving money is tough, or... hell, for that matter, some adults are in that situation. They got to put money
fixed
aside
incomes,
for...
yep. Yeah.
So, senior citizens on Social Security and, I'm sure they're out there. I'm sure there are, retired people out there on fixed incomes who play this game. So, start putting money aside and, buck or two a week if you can. And we're going to... keep saving our gold and buy it that way.
Yep.
So anyway, essentially those are their 5 suggestions.
Cool. All right, so moving on to Clobberin' Time this week. I only played it again once. Clobberin' Time this week was Clash of the Minions. No time for coward soldiers. Playing minions gives them charge and taunt. Okay, here's the mulligan. Go, go, go. That's what it said. I'm not making this up. I'm not being weird. This is just what they say. Anyway, Clash of the Minions. Anything you played became a charging tauntable. Yet again, I played a Mage Ping deck. And my son was sitting next to me going, no, 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 don't do it. Don't do it. They're too weak. I won my first game. I stopped. I was done. So I did okay. I did the one game. How about you?
I didn't pay too much attention. I was watching In preparation for the new Game of Thrones season that's coming out, season right. 6, I've been binge watching, and in fact, today during lunch, I watched the very last episode of season 5. But while binge watching Game of Thrones, I just threw together a random hunter deck, and I just played, I think, 3 games, one in the third game. I was half not even paying attention.
You weren't even paying attention?
I wasn't even paying attention. Like, oh, I'm losing this game, concede. Oh, I'm losing that game, concede. Oh, this one looks like I might win. Let me play till I win. And
that's
I did.
That's sad. That's just sad.
Well, I made sort
I guess
of
you don't
a,
get frustrated that way.
Yeah, I made a hunter deck that had some removal, so I was able to, when it worked, get rid of all of those little taunts. This is the one with the taunts, right? The week before, the player yes. was the taunt, and this
week
was...
This is the one
was...
where they had taunt and charged right. as soon as you put him on the board.
Right. So all of these little taunts were out there, and I was like multi-shotting and deadly shotting and explosive trapping them away. That thing with the charge kind of snuck by me. The first card I played turned into taunt, and it had charge, and... Even as I'm clicking the end turn button, I'm like, why is that glowing green? It can't attack.
Oh, no.
And then I'm like, oh, it could have attacked. And even though I didn't come across for that 3 points of damage, I don't remember the minion, but it was worth 3 points, I still managed to win the game. So it was cute. It was a nice little mechanic. Again, I didn't like having to build the deck. I think that's... That really does hack away at my enjoyment. Because making decks that I'm going to use once, maybe twice, that go away in a week, that's too much work for too little reward for me.
You have said this episode after episode after episode.
Well,
yep.
I would like to say that I'll never say that again.
Be nice if we could store it.
But
it'd be nice if we
I
could have a weird little deck that we can just put away, say, Black Lace's Brawler deck.
Well, here's the thing. We're going to get new deck slots, but that doesn't help us.
Nope.
Because we're
you
not
still have to
making
build it.
The deck in one of those deck slot positions.
Right.
We're making it in some... And then, this is frustrating as hell, I started making the deck, and then I got called away for something important. The game had shut down, and I come back, and of course, it doesn't auto-save
oh, no.
half-built decks, so I had oh. to start all over again, right? Unless you save it, it doesn't save, unless you finish
yeah.
it. So it's annoying, and maybe when they come up with the, all right, now you have 18 decks instead of 9, there'll be some kind of mechanic in the UI that lets you save the Brawl ones there.
Or it's pull
really,
your own decks
it's,
over.
It's just a cut and paste mechanic.
Yeah.
It's
It'd be nice
one
if you
button
could just
they
pull
could
them
do
over.
It with. Yeah. That's anyway. It's annoying. And
you're ranting.
I'm not the only well, I'm slightly ranting. I'm not angry about it. I'm just annoyed by it. It's
I
like
see. Annoyatrend.
Yes. There are other players out there who feel the same as me.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So it's not like this is just a private little pet
no,
peeve.
Not at all.
Okay.
As so, I said, if they could make one button where you can click to pull your own deck in and over, it would just make it so much easier. I mean, yeah, you could always build your own, but if you have a deck that you'd want to try, you have to sit there and figure out, okay, these are the cards, now I got to move them over and do it one at a time, and it is a pain. I totally hear you. I do hear you.
It is my firm belief that as a fan of anything, music, games, books... You know, of a particular author, that you do a disservice by just talking about how great everything is.
Correct.
If something is not as good, you should mention it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's the only way it'll get fixed. So I'm not complaining or whining.
No.
That's the term they throw around a lot on the internet. Stop being a crybaby. Stop with the QQ.
Stop whining.
It's not whining. It's just
no.
saying, this is something I wish they would improve. So... Blizzard, on that off chance that you're listening to me, and I know you're not, please fix this.
You don't know that.
Blizzard doesn't listen to us.
I don't know.
Except maybe Yanwu.
Yanwu might.
On weeks that we interview him.
No. Okay, Yanwu, you have to send us an email now. Say, Autumnsbane, behave. All right, so I'm going to move off of the of being clobbered. Behaving? None whatsoever. So never mind. Don't even say that. We have an email. This one is from Austria. And it was also a play with my deck.
What did you say? It's from what?
Austria. Not Australia. Austria.
It's Austria. I thought you said Austria.
I might have.
I think you did.
I could have, but either way, it's Austria.
Okay. Austria. That's cool. I have never met or spoken to anyone from Austria before, so I love getting an email from Austria.
Yes, and a deck to play with. So, hello from Austria. I'm a listener since July of last year. The time I started playing Hearthstone. First, thanks for the podcast. I really enjoy listening to you. It helped me get a better understanding of the cards and the game. Since you make such a nice and upbeat atmosphere, I'm always looking forward to your episode, even if I did rarely play the last few months. Even if this is not a review, I still hope my words will lift Autumnsbane up a bit. My gosh, everybody thinks you're miserable.
No. He's referring to the fact that I wanted people to leave us 5-star reviews or 4-star reviews to make me happy, because
anyway,
that makes me happy.
Thank you for the kind words.
So this is his version of a review, by sending us a letter and lifting my spirits.
And it did. And thank you for that. And I'm going to keep reading now.
Go ahead.
I tried to contribute a bit by sending you a deck that I toyed with in the last week. I think it's fun and gives you a fair chance to get a decent win rate, at least the ranks between 20 and 12. I call it Murloc Flood Zoo, but it is a shaman deck. It combines the strong early game Shaman Hat with Tunnel Trog and Totem Golem with some Murloc synergy. I do not have the cards, so it is not teched to perfection. I think it means tweaked to perfection. And especially the Faceless Manipulator does not really fit, but I got him lately and I wanted to try him in the deck. I use it mostly to copy some mean legendaries. My first idea was to let him copy old Murkai as an OTK piece, but this did not work out so far. The main win condition is every fin, but if you can generate a lot of pressure, most games are decided before that. I mulligan usually very hard for the Trog and Totem Golem, since this gets you on the board and usually keeps you in the initiative. I play more Zoo-like, so I usually trade to keep the board so as not it is not at least like the face shaman deck. I would appreciate it if you tested it. And in the deck are, get your pens and pencils ready, Abusive Sergeant 2, Grimscale Oracle 2, Murloc Tide Caller 2, Sir Finley, Tunnel Trog 2, Ancestral Knowledge, he just has one, so there was only one in there, Flame Tongue Totem 2, Totem Golem 2, Hex, Bram Bronzebeard, Cold Light Seer 2, Murloc Warlader 2, Tuskar Totemic 2, Defender of Argus 2, Old Murkai, Silt Fin Spirit Walker 2, Faceless Manipulator, and Every Fin is Awesome 2. Best wishes per, and he's Sisunor on Battle.net. Anyway, I tried this deck, and the first night that I made the deck, I did not do very well at all the first couple of games. So I said, well, I'm tired. It might have even been after the podcast. I figured I was just me not really being there. So I decided to let it sit for a day or two, and then I would come back and do my official 5 to see how I did. Well, I lost 4 out of 5. I played against a paladin, and the paladin was able to fully build his board, and no matter how many times I ran myself into his minions, he had full gain board control, and he totally annihilated me. I had the exact same problem when I came up against a gold warlock. By round 6, the hunter totally toasted me. I mean, just totally slammed me. I was dead and gone. I did win against the mage. I won. The random number generator was absolutely great for me. I got my Murlocs out. I got Sir Finley which gave me the Hunter's ability, so I was able to ram into him and go arrows over his shields and smack him in the face. So I did win with the mage, and then I lost to the rogue. The blade flurries just took out my minions each time because the minions are all pretty low health, and she didn't even have to actually pump her blades up much to get that blade flurry to clear my board twice, and then it was all over. So I did not have a good time with this deck. I'm sorry. I tried over and over again. I just couldn't get the Murloc synergies. I found simple problems like the Murlocs couldn't come out fast enough. My overloads made it so I couldn't cast my Murlocs, or I didn't have enough overloads so the Tunnel Trog couldn't get beefed up because I didn't have that many of the overloads. So I turned around and I said, Autumn's Bane, try this. Tell me if it's me, because I don't want to not do this guy justice. I appreciated the email. I appreciated the deck, but I just wasn't seeing it work. So Autumn's Bane, you tried a couple times?
Yeah, so I'm not sure how long he's been playing. I don't think he's been playing very long.
He said July of last year.
Okay, so but we don't know how often he plays. And he did say there's a few months that he wasn't playing. So maybe he's still considered new. And so he did what a lot of new people do. He took a bunch of fun cards and a bunch of fun themes and threw them in the deck. And he probably has fun playing with the deck, even when it loses. I have a couple of decks like that, that they lose at least 50% of the time, but I enjoy playing them. But I think he tried to intersperse too many themes together. The overload mechanic didn't have enough overloads, like you said, to make it work. But worse than that, you really need all your mana to play Murlocs, because you can't play the Murlocs one at a time. If you play a Murloc one at a time, they will die one at a time. You kind of have to put some of them out together, especially because they synergize with each other, and so some of them feed off the other when you cast them in quick succession. Also, for that one big card he had, you want a bunch of Murlocs out. And I kept running into the problem with the two games I played against a Paladin and a Rogue, is I couldn't even keep two or three of them out without them just getting annihilated. And when I play against a Shaman, my main goal is to clear their board, because Shaman with full boards are dangerous. There's too many ways, Bloodlust for example, that a Shaman can just roll over you if he's got board control, board superiority. So you really need those Murlocs to come out in clumps, and you need mana to do that. And if you're all locked up with overloads, you really can't do that. Which is one of the things I thought was weird when they made the Shaman Murloc thing, you know, the few cards that they added in that gave Shaman Murlocs, I thought were rather odd. I will say that the one card that gives +2/+2 to the minions that costs less for each Murloc Gavin play, I did get to play that one time.
Everfin is awesome.
Yeah, it was really, really fun to play. But it was a little too much, a little too late, or a little too little, a little too late, because the turn I did it on was the turn before my opponent just killed me. They would wipe out my Murlocs before I could keep them out. I do have a suggestion. I had a couple of suggestions, if you let me continue.
Sure.
A single Lightning Storm would have worked wonders in this deck.
I
would have put in two.
Yeah, because replace the Faceless Manipulator. Mm-hmm. You don't, and replace the Faceless Manipulator was just put in there for a fun factor. Use something like Lightning Storm. It'll blow up their side of the board. Totally clear their side of the board for you.
One or two Lightning Storms, and I would have won against that Rogue. But because he had a whole army of one and two health minions.
Paladins too?
Yep. A little bit of protection. Make use of the fact that this is a Shaman deck and put at least one Feral Spirit in there. How many, especially if you want to keep that overload mechanic, if you want to keep a card that's going to be buffed by overload, Then the Feral Spirit card, 3 casting costs, summon 2/3 Spirit Wolves with Taunt for an overload of 2. That card annoys me every time a shaman plays it, because you not only have to deal with one taunt, suddenly there are 2 there. That I don't play right, shaman much, but that's an awesome card.
And every fin would work on that. If you cast your every fin, it would give the wolves pluses.
+2/+2, exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. So there also were not enough Murlocs to make this a true Murloc deck. There just weren't. At one point, I had 7 or 8 cards in my hand and only 2 Murlocs. And there just weren't enough to make it feel like a Murloc deck. So, I mean, yeah, I kept drawing Murlocs periodically throughout the game, but just not enough of them to make a Murloc deck, in my opinion. Some of the cards were just too high casting cost to get played early on in the game, like the Faceless Manipulator and Everfin is off. And there's also another there's another card that brings out all the dead Murlocs. It's also called Everfin or something or other. You know the one I'm talking about? Everfin is awesome, or if I could only find it here.
Everfin is awesome is that's the one that we just talked about.
Okay, well, there's another one that calls out.
Are you talking about the Siltflin Spirit Walker? Whenever a friendly Murloc dies, you draw a card.
No. There's another card.
Is it neutral?
Late
maybe?
Game. It might be neutral, and it lets you call out all of the Murlocs that died this game. That would have been nice, because then all of my Murlocs that kept getting killed would suddenly be there. And it's not all of them, obviously. I think it's 7.
No, that's Paladin card. Well, no, that's summon 7 Murlocs that died this game.
Yes.
That's anything can happen. That's a Paladin card.
Oh, man. Oh, what? So
yeah,
scratch
so you
that.
You can't.
Anyway, but that, too bad that's a Paladin card, because right. That would have been a much better card.
Seriously, Brogan, if you're putting it in this deck.
But I could see why he enjoys this deck and why he likes it, but I think he needs to try to forget the totems. Maybe get rid of those. Not the totem, exactly, but there are, I think, a couple of cards in there that affect totems or summon totems. Just
forget
that.
Well, even the Tunnel Trog.
Yeah, the Tunnel Trog, you know, that's
an
overload
mechanic. And he mulligans for it.
That's an overload mechanic. And, you know, I did manage to get my Tunnel Trog boosted to a 3/3 on turn 3, and they killed it. So it didn't do me a whole lot of good, but, keep tweaking it. This is not a hopeless deck. It just is a little weak in some places. And I think, you know, a couple of things to keep you protected. A little less diversity in the types of cards you have. And maybe in another, just 1 or 2 board clears. Because you've got nothing to take out an army. I mean, you're trying to make a zoo of Murlocs. It's not going to stop a Warlock Zoo deck. It's not going to stop a Silverhand Knight deck. It's not going to stop one of those minion-heavy rogue decks. There's just, you know, there's some stuff you could do to make it better. But keep playing with it. That's what makes decks good. You start out with a deck, you find its weaknesses, and you improve upon it. So good luck with that.
Yeah, the only things I can suggest to tweak the deck with is make it a little more shaman-y. Like you had said, Feral Spirit, Lightning Storm, throw in a Bloodlust, throw even a Forked Lightning where you do 2 points of damage to 2 creatures. Just something to clear the board and something to roll over heads a little bit more and a little bit more shaman-y. But otherwise, yeah, it could be a fun deck. It didn't work for me, and that's why I had you try it, because I just couldn't get it going.
Yeah. And just this little sidebar, I'm not an expert shaman player. I don't play shaman very often, but I play against enough shaman that I think I know what makes them strong and what makes them less strong.
Yep. All right. So moving on from that, there's another deck that I'm going to be trying this week. Unfortunately, I'm a little shy on some of the cards, so I'm thinking of dusting some things. I know I said we shouldn't dust before the next expansion, but I need 2 Twilight Guards and a Chill Maw. What am I talking about? email from
Violet Fire.
An email from Violet Fire. Let me see. I've got the cards up and I just lost it. One second. Okay. Greetings, worthy ones. Aw, they're sweet. Okay. Hearthstone Burnout? ? Also Duck Suggestion. I love this email because it's so where I am right now. Greetings, worthy ones. While it has been a while since I've written you, I am hoping that you can help me with a small problem. I have been having with Hearthstone. Burnout. During the December months, I thoroughly enjoyed playing and leveling up, and I loved playing in League of Explorers. But ever since those cards have been released, namely Reno Jackson, the card you love to play but hate having played against you, has changed my perception of the game from lighthearted quick match to a more tedious grind. Have you had similar issues, or is it just something I have experienced? Do you think that the new formats will bring fresh perspective to the game? I'm holding on to hope for now. I would also like to take a moment to speak up for one of the more misrepresented classes on your show, the priest. Ah, the poor misunderstood priest whose only aim is to heal those around him. As I am sure it was an oversight last week when you were going over the GVG cards that were left behind, I'd like to wave a bittersweet goodbye to some of the priest cards, such as Shrinkmeister, Velen's Chosen, and Light Bomb. For those of us who only wanted to heal our compatriots, you will be missed. As always, I love listening to the witty repartee you exchange every week. Thank you for all you do. I will miss Ugly Brew and hope he knows how much he was appreciated as well. Much love, Violet Fire. P.S. I'm attaching, a picture of the Dragon Priest deck that I tailored to be my own, though it is probably too late for this week. Again, thanks for your time and effort in creating an entertaining and enjoyable show. Thank you, Violet Fire. She's been with us since, I think, day one. Love you, honey.
Oh, yeah, she was our first review.
Yep, she was. I am definitely going to try her deck. I, unfortunately, am missing not one, but two epics and one legendary. So I might be able to make one of the two Twilight Guards, but I don't know if I can get Chilmaw. I'm going to see how much I can dust of duplicates and non-golds and see what I can build, because I definitely want to try this Dragon Priest deck. So I'm looking forward to it. But I want to really address her first paragraph. Boredom. The grind. The Reno Jackson making the game go from the quick 5 to 10 minute game to a 20 to 40 minute game. These are all things I've been mentioning recently that have been driving me crazy.
Yeah. We went away for several days for our anniversary. And a year ago, I would have been like, oh, I can't wait to get home and play Hearthstone. But like, not this time. Just enjoying being away.
Yeah.
I did not feel compelled to. I don't rush home and play as soon as I get home like I did. No,
yeah, we were
able
to watch TV shows without thumbing through our Hearthstone on our iPads and such, or iPhones. We didn't have internet connection either, but I mean, it didn't freak us out like it would have a couple of years ago.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, the same thing goes for World of Warcraft, which is also long in the tooth with this expansion. So we're waiting for expansions at this time of year. We're waiting for Hearthstone expansion. We're waiting for a Warcraft expansion and for Overwatch to come out. But I, just like Black Lace said, I also am feeling the burnout. And I think this is normal. We experience this with Magic the Gathering, too. Usually just a month or two before another expansion came
out. But here's something else, though. It's kind of good to burn out every once in a while in the game and then just do something else with your life for a while.
Well, it's
and
healthy.
Then when it's healthy. It gets you away from it, because literally when the next Warcraft expansion starts, even when the next Hearthstone expansion starts, I am going to be full-blown every day, every hour after work, every moment before work if I have a chance, in the games, playing hard. And not doing everything else they should do. And I know that's going to happen again. And these lulls are kind of good, because everybody needs to step away every once in a while. And I think we forget to, when everything's new and exciting, to actually step away. So the lulls are kind of okay for that reason.
Now, there's an old saying that a candle burns much brighter but faster when you burn it at both ends. So that's the way we consume product these days. We just tear into stuff. Like I just talked about binge watching TV shows. Now, I'll watch an entire season of a show I had never seen before on Netflix in a matter of a week or less sometimes. The same thing happens with these games. There are people who, when the expansion comes out for Warcraft, they'll take the week off from work, they'll play it like crazy, they'll get up to maximum level in like 2 days, they'll go and see everything there has to do, and then like, okay, what do I do now? And before you know it, they're burnt out on the game, and they stop playing. Same thing with Hearthstone, or any game for that matter. I think it's kind of a product of the culture that we're in.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it. It's an excitement thing. You're so excited for the new stuff, but eventually you're going to burn out for it. And then, you know, if you take a break and you come back and suddenly it's all, wow, this is great. I think I'll start playing again.
Yep, then you're refreshed. Yeah, and yeah, some people will stop playing and then they'll start listening to podcasts. Oh, let's see what's new in this game. And they'll hear how excited, like, we probably sounded very excited when the League of Explorers came out compared to how we're sounding right now. And listeners will feel that excitement when they hear their podcasters really excited, like, oh, they're doing this? Let me go do it too.
But yeah. I also agree that there is a tedium now with not only Tree of Life, but Reno Jackson, when you want to play that quick 10-minute game that they promised us we'd be able to play at the very beginning, and suddenly the games are going a half hour or more. There, it is kind of frustrating when you want to play a couple of quick matches. It can turn around so quickly to become a very long ping, 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 and that is kind of frustrating.
Yeah, the only games that go quickly for me these days are the ones that I lose. But the ones that
I was gonna say when a priest comes up and you concede.
but the ones that I'm really having a good game and my opponent and I are on equal footing, like this is the way the game's supposed to be. And then you're 10 minutes in and you've got a lot of mana and you've gone through more than half your deck and you're figuring, all right, this game will be over any second, which of us is gonna win? And then they pull out Reno Jackson and you start all over again. That's just not fun. And I'm guilty of this because, as I said on the last show, what got me quickly from like rank 18 all the way up to 15 with barely any losses was a deck that used that mechanic, that Control Warrior Reno deck. And I almost feel bad. I feel like a hypocrite because it wins. And I could just imagine my opponents on the other side just cursing me out or getting frustrated or conceding on the spot when they see Reno. I think Black Lace said this recently. They said that this was going to be a game that we can sit down for an hour and get several games in. And you're not getting several games in an hour anymore.
No, I don't. So, I don't dare play more than one during lunch break. Yep. I don't dare play more than one during the lunch break, and I don't dare play ranked, because if the game turns around and winds up going long, and that clock says it's time for me to go back to lunch, I have to concede.
Yeah. Now, this is a real challenge for Blizzard because it's not really their fault, because they don't know exactly what kind of decks players are going to make, and that's a good thing. You want to be able to have infinite possibility. But if they design everything so that the games go by too quickly, like everybody's playing
Reno Rush. Was a game changer.
Yes. It everybody's really playing was. Face Hunters and Rush Zoo Jet decks and all of this sort of thing. Or those Flame Waker decks. Those games go fast when they win. And they leave the opponent who is trying to make a nice fun deck to play with. Just it obliterates them. So the pendulum swung too far. Now the games are going too long. And sometimes that has to happen. So it's a corrective action. It's just not a corrective action that people are having fun with right now. So let's see what happens with the next expansion. Maybe we could get it back toward the middle. But I think you're always going to have the decks that wipe you out in five turns. and there's always going to be the decks that keep you playing for 40 minutes. And I don't think that's going to change. But you're right. Right now, there's too many decks keeping you playing long.
Yeah. Yeah. That just about wraps it up for what I had. Did you have anything else you wanted to say, Autumn Spain?
No. Never.
No.
I have
never.
Nothing to say.
Nothing to say. Crosses arms, nods head. Okay.
Oh, well. So, this is our first podcast ever on Elite Day.
This is true. It might be our last.
And in 4 years, I don't think it's on a Monday. So this
That's
may
true.
Be our only Leap only. Day podcast.
This is a Leap Day podcast. All right. So next week, I will be trying the Dragon Priest deck that was sent to me. I might have to send an email back and forth to the author of this deck to see what I can substitute if I can't create some of these cards that I need. So that's next week's. But I need more decks. I love playing with people's decks. Let me play with your deck. Send me your deck. And likewise, we haven't heard any of your silly stories or your really exciting moves that have happened. So do send those in emails too. And we have fun sharing your emails with everybody else. So you can find us. Oh, before I say, are you sure you have nothing else to say, honestly?
No, I think I might make this deck. Because with the exception of one card, I might have everything.
Oh, nice. Okay. Well, we'll figure something out later. All right, so...
Only because it's Violet Fire, you know.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay, you can find us at awohearthstone.com. You can listen. You can find us also on holosuitemedia.com. You can follow us on Twitter at A Worthy Opponent. You can listen to us on Monday nights at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, twitch.tv/holosuitemedia. You can send us one of those emails at awohearthstone@gmail.com. You can download us on iTunes, send us a review on iTunes, or you can download us. Sometimes people have trouble with iTunes. You can still download us on Stitcher Satellite Radio. You can follow us on Facebook, like us on Facebook, or message us on Facebook at AWO Hearthstone. You can find us on Google Plus, A Worthy Opponent. Special thanks to Holosuite Media, Xander the Man Behind the Curtain, and the theme music provided by the awesome, awesome City Limits. Thank you, Micmac, for always giving us your Twitch feeds to have people watch on the Twitch channel during our live broadcasts. Take care, everybody. Have a good week and happy hearthing.
Bye-bye, all.
Production of Holosuite Media. Join us next week at Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And be sure to check holosuitemedia.com, iTunes, and Stitcher Satellite Radio for our remastered shows and more. You can follow us on Twitter at Worthy Opponent. Or if you have any questions or comments, please send an email to awohearthstone@gmail.com. Welcome to our inn.